Do you sell stuff on Amazon, eBay, BigCommerce, your own website? Then you need ShipStation, a popular choice of online sellers across Australia. No matter where you sell, ShipStation automatically imports your orders, making them easier to manage. Plus, they help you get the lowest rates from all the top carriers, including Australia Post. Now you can try ShipStation free for 30 days. Plus, get a special bonus when you use the code SHIPPING. To learn more, go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone and enter shipping.
Welcome back to Racing Pulse, a special edition live from Warrnambool. We'll be here for each and every day of the famous three-day Warrnambool Carnival. Thanks to Country Racing Victoria, the way racing is meant to be, and our friends down here at 3YB. And joining us in the studio is a local trainer who makes the Warrnambool Carnival a focus, no doubt. Every year he's trained plenty of winners over the carnival, and hopefully this year will be no exception. It's Matty Williams. How are you, Matt?
Yeah, good morning, Michael. No pleasure to be in the studio with you.
Yeah, great to have you here. For a local trainer, how exciting is this week?
It's probably the highlight, you know, for the Warrnambool boys here. You sort of prep a lot of horses for the May Carnival, and start sort of, you know, getting them horses ready back in January. You're sort of starting to, you know the program pretty much back to front now. So starting to pick out what races they might be able to head to and starting to plan their preps to get them there in the best shape.
It's remarkable the strike rate the locals have down here over the Warrnambool Carnival.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Obviously, you know, there's a bit of a home ground advantage as a bonus, and probably, you know, we live in a pretty wet sort of climate up here, so the horses do get used to working on ground at trials at Tarang and Camperdown and more like them places. So whether they just get used to handling that sort of softer, chopped up ground when it starts to get a bit of wear and tear after 10 races or so. So yeah, I'm not sure why that really is, but and probably because, as I said, a lot of us do set them for this week.
Well, we'll talk about your runners. You've got 16 over the 3 days in a moment, but you're a local boy, born and bred down here in the region.
Son of Baron Margaret Williams. So we lived out in East Warrnambool all my life, used to ride the bike down to the stables of a morning, ride a bit of track work, clean a few boxes, things like that. Started with Francis O'Rourke, doing just straw boxes was the first job, and then sort of ventured to doing track work for Jocko Bailey for about 10 years. Did a fitter and turner apprenticeship somewhere in between there as well. Used to ride a bit of work and then go off and do the fitting and turning side, which was sort of handy when you set up your own place to be able to weld and do all that sort of stuff, so you can fix a few things yourself. Then took out a license myself and continued on from there.
So was it family history in the racing game?
Dad's father was a bookmaker. He's my weekend worker, so he's certainly involved with the stable, but I wouldn't like to give him a saddle and say he saddled this one up. So he's certainly involved, and but not really a great connection on Dad's side, only that being a first cousin to Marie Mayfield Smith and Debbie Fitzgerald, they were both involved with horses at that same sort of early age, riding track work and that. So there's obviously a little bit of a bug there. And then my uncle, who's the clerk of the course out here at Warrnambool, Ray Walsh, he's got the property where we're set up, and he always, you know, had a paddock for us to have a pony as a kid, and we used to spend a lot of time out there on the farm.
That connection to Brian Mayfield Smith, I know you did work for him when you were younger. What was that like working for Brian? And was that at the period when he was huge?
So that was when he was going really strong in Melbourne, and we used to have probably got up to 15 or 20 pre-trainers for him up here. It was a bit of a challenge between other pre-trainers around Cranbourne, wherever that he had his horses sort of spread out, to see who could actually get a horse into the stable in there at the time, because his team was so strong, and he sort of wouldn't get his numbers up over that 2025. So that was a really good learning time for me. I still probably say it was probably one of the sprays I got off him was probably one of the best I ever had.
What was that about?
It was a horse called Pretorius, owned by Windsor. I can still remember it, Windsor Park Stud, and I think we let a vet cut out a foot abscess in the horse, and he had one rule that you never ever let a vet touch a horse's hoof. That was the farrier's job. So yeah, it probably got dug out a bit deep, and then of course it was going to take a bit longer to heal up, and he had a couple of races in mind for him, so he let rip there one day. But that was probably the only spray I ever got off him. Overall, it was a very good working relationship.
Well, I bet you haven't done it again.
No.
You mentioned the local boys. A bit of a rat pack back in the day, was there? Because you've got some super trainers that have come through, born and bred. Obviously, Kieran Maher.
Yep.
You've got the Wilds, and also Jared McLean. Were you all mates growing up in the area?
Yeah, we were. We all used to do, pony clubs and one-day events and gymkhanas and stuff like that. So I spent quite a bit of time. Simon Wild was at the Warrnambool Pony Club, and Jared and Brad were at Dennington. So, but we used to, interact when we had competition days and things like that. So, it was a really good grounding, the pony club side, doing jumping, and taught you to, use your legs and stuff like that. Whereas probably track riders these days, you probably don't use it a lot, I guess, in track work. But for us riding at the beach and stuff like that, where you ride a bit longer, those sort of things all, when you look back, help you along the way.
Who was the best pony club rider?
Adam Covered, for sure. Wildy might agree with that, yeah. But
did you get up to much mischief?
Yeah, we used to have some good time. There was a few, used to go to a few camps at Emu Creek and stuff like that, and we used to go down to the Boggy Creek Hunt Club once or twice a year. They had a hunt day down there, and that was always a ripping day, because you actually got to, give them a good bolt along and over a few old rough fences and whatever, chasing foxes. So, they were good days.
We've got Kieran Maher in the studio tomorrow. Was he always as laid back when he was a young kid as well?
Yeah, no, he hasn't changed. He was, he came over and worked for me for a, when I had the Mayfield Smiths horses there for, might have been just a month or two. He was sort of, I think he'd been doing a bit of tree cutting or something, like with one of the tree cutting mobs or
really?
Something. Excuse me. And he came over and worked for a little while. And you could always see he was going to go down that path of training horses. And one thing I've always sort of noticed about Kieran is, he's a real think outside the square sort of trainer. He doesn't make it a routine thing. Especially when he trained here in Warrnambool, he'd be, riding. He was probably, one of the first blokes to start going to the sand dunes and found that Hoon Hill where we work out there. That would just be what he'd do with jumpers, go out there and just ride through dunes for an hour or 2 hours or whatever. And, he had great results with those jumpers doing it.
You've still got a connection, because I know you do a bit of pre-training for Kieran's horses down here at the Bull. But did you think when he was training down here and he was a young bloke that he'd get as big as he is and have 200 horses in work?
No, it was always, when he went to Caulfield, it was a big move to, pack up and go. He obviously had some good support from some good owners. And, but to think that he's got to the size that he has now, you probably didn't think that was going to happen early on. But he's done a fantastic job. He's got good blokes around him, the office and foreman and racing managers, that sort of thing. So he's very good from our side of it to work for. He's he sends the horse up, gives you a little brief on the horse, and pretty much lets you go about your job. And if something goes wrong or whatever, well, he understands that side of racing happens too. So.
And for you, it's a family operation, isn't it? How many horses have you got in work?
So we work about 30 ourselves, and then we have about a dozen for Kieran. And then we actually do a few just pre-trainers. There's actually a couple of four trotters for Clayton Tonkin there on the water walker at the moment. So we've had some sort of good results using the water walker and treadmill for the trotters. So, we're fortunate with the facilities that we've got out there that we're able to handle that, and plenty of boxes and plenty of room, so it's good.
And we spoke to Pete Downs earlier in the show about the situation with the beach and training on the beach here. As a local trainer, how important is that beach access and that issue for the locals down here?
Yeah, it's the main part of Warrnambool. I think if you didn't have the beach access here at Warrnambool would finish up, a lot smaller setup, like maybe Hamilton, Terengs, them places.
So you think a lot of trainers would leave?
Oh, for sure. If you didn't have the beach, you're not going to train in Warrnambool and have the extra travelling that you have if you don't have that beach access, especially for the local for the younger boys coming through. They're not going to invest, the amount of money that I've probably put into my place. In a place that doesn't have beach access.
So for a punter sitting at home who doesn't know the intricacies of training and general people who enjoy their racing, how much of a difference can that beach work make to a horse and its performance?
It's you're able to do that heavy sand work, and you don't have to gallop your horses as much, so you can keep them, you know, sounder, and you're not galloping around corners and having that gradual build up of concussion, etc. That gradually just loads knees and fetlocks and things up, and then, you know, you end up with a chip or something along the tendon, etc. So if you're able to do that low impact heavy sand work and then straight into the ocean, I always know myself, if we've had a hard day at the farm doing work or something, even if you're in a pool or you're in a beach, you get straight into water. It's got that instant relief for your you know, a bit of coolness around your legs and that. So it's, I think that's, you know, there's two sides to the beach. There's the sand side, which is a really big part of it, but also there's the therapeutic side of the salt water.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, fingers crossed that can get sorted out. We'll continue to follow that issue on Racing Pulse. Matty, let's turn to your runners because we need to make some money. It's a long 3 days. We need to find some winners. And you've got 16 runners and you've got some really nice chances on day one. You've got five going around. We'll go through them. In race number five, you've got two runners. You've got Maeve in Manhattan and Streetlights. Now, they're both first starters in the Vobis Gold two-year-old race, which is always a strong race down here at the Carnival.
Excuse me. Maven Manhattan's a horse we bred out of a mare we've got, and she's trialled up really good at the trials. I think she's definitely got above average ability. Just today's, you know, with half the field unraced, there's a bit of a lottery and hitting probably I think the track's still rated a heavy eight, but I predicted it might be a little bit worse than that. So on that sort of ground, we've given them a couple of little gallops, but sort of had hold of their heads, so we haven't really let them go to see how they're going to get through it. The other filly, she's one we brought at Melbourne Premier Sales last year, and she's in a similar boat. There's not much between them, and just, you know, I guess who's going to handle the ground today. And they're not mad 1,000-metre running horses, so they're not going to be on the speed. They'll just sit back midfieldish, slot in somewhere, and hopefully be strong late and getting a little check for the owners.
The great thing about Warrnambool is that there's so many tips and coat tuggers and plungers. As a local trainer, do you get any local mail about, or so and so's got one that goes pretty good?
Yeah, you do. You sort of see them at the trials a little bit, and you sort of just prick your ears. You'll see one sort of trial up with one that you thought went well or something like that. So you sort of follow them a little bit and probably always, you know, have a bit of a joke with the other trainers, what's your best, etc. So,
well, give us some insight. Have you got one today that you think might be a sneaky from another stable?
I'm trying to think. Jared told me one yesterday, but I can't remember what it was now.
You're kidding. We'll work on that. You can't be forgetting those tips on day one at Warrnambool. Race number seven, you've got Short Espresso. Now, this is one that does love the wet first up.
Yeah, he's a dead set heavy tracker. I think suits that he's drawn out, he'll just go back and sort of stay in that probably three wide lane, and hopefully, you know, the track's sort of racing pretty even by race seven. And, you know, with Damien Lane on board, I'm sure he'll get every chance. And certainly, you know, he's really galloped up and trialled well, so really happy with him going in today.
And then you've got a really nice hand in the ninth. You've got Albertino's been racing so well in the local cups of Benella, the Warwick and Benella, wasn't far away in the Cranbourne Cup, and you've also got Lady Selkirk, who's, we know, has got class.
Yep. So Albertino probably he jarred up at Warwick Nabil the other day. It was actually quite firm up there, and he just felt the ground a little bit. It wasn't one of his probably better runs, so he certainly won't be jarring up today. And, you know, he's a horse that needs to just get his own way a little bit in front, roll along and just sort of do things his way. And he can be, you know, if he skips away before the corner, he can be hard to run down. Lady Selkirk will be sitting back, just probably stalking him most of the way. Really happy with her. She handles this sort of ground, drops to 54 kilos. Benny Thompson knows her well, so I think she's certainly going to be charging and hitting the line well and be probably hard to beat.
You trained, was it four winners last year or five?
I had four last year, three on Cup Day, and turned it around, won this City of Warrnambool Handicap on day one last year.
Sounds like it's a target. Is she this year's one?
Well, we couldn't turn around. We had a little issue with him, and so we couldn't get him there. And so these race in the same colours of Michael Ray, the brown, green sleeves and red cap.
So is that a yes?
Yes.
All right, Lady Selkirk's the best today. You've got four runners tomorrow. Who do you think's your best on day two?
I like Alma's Rosser in race seven. It's a strong 1,400-metre three-year-old race. I reckon it's probably better than a midweek city-class race. But she's trialled up really well with a couple of weird horses at the trials and then galloped really well again the other day at Terang last Thursday, so I think she'll be hard to beat. And Tofferton, he's definitely a horse for the future. I reckon he's a nice horse for the Silver Bowl or something like that down the track.
Okay.
A little bit unknown on the real wet, but he's got a big tick with Craig Williams going on board.
And then you come home with seven runners on the third day. It's going to be a busy day for you. Who's your best on the final day?
I've got you know, good three or four chances there. Like the Clappers in race nine, loves that sort of ground. Up in the weights this year, he won the same race last year, but Damien Lane on board there. Reigning Media's going really well. Hollow Log was cheeky at Ballarat the other day for a jumper. He won that same race last year as well. Power Rossa was good at Bendigo, and Artie Shaw goes for back-to-back handicaps.
Okay, so if you were going to have two bets over the 3 days on your horses, who would the two be?
I'd probably go Lady Selkirk into Like the Clappers.
Okay, Lady Selkirk into Like the Clappers, which is the last race, or I should say race number nine on the last day. We might be needing to get out there. What's your format for the week? You obviously with a lot of owners to entertain. How difficult is it, the social and the racing over the 3 days?
Yeah, just sort of try and pace yourself a little bit. Learned previous years not to go too hard on the Tuesday night. So we've got a marquee this year out in the birdcage area out the back in conjunction with Kieran Maher Racing. So, you know, that's for our owners and potential owners to come out and say good day and have a drink. So, you know, that we'll probably spend a fair bit of the time around there, and always like to get up the grandstand up the back for the grand annual. It's sort of place that I've always sort of gone to watch it, and yeah, love getting up there to watch that race and seeing Rick do his stuff. So yeah, no, it's a busy time. We have a few owners have been out to have a look at their horse and that. We have a lot of clients that aren't locally based, they're Melbourne based, so this is the time when they come up and they like to have a look at their horse. And yeah, we'll also be in conjunction with OTI, I've got a little Magic Albert cult that we've fortunate to get to train.
We spoke to Pete Downs about that, and it's wonderful. You've donated 12 months training fees, and this is the auction that's going to happen tomorrow. 10% sale, and that money will go to Brenton Primer and his campaign to get to the 2020 Paralympics.
Yeah, he's a lad that's very close to our heart, being apprenticed to us and spending a lot of time at our stables. So, you know, if we can help him out that way, well, you know, it'll be fantastic. And he was actually over at Mum's last night. We have Monday night roast, and he had the iPhone out. He'd been down, he goes down there, it's between Cranbourne and Mornington somewhere there to do in a big arena, get some coaching and that. And he's really, you know, I hadn't sort of seen a video of him ride or seen him ride for probably 6 or 8 months, and he's really come a long way. So it's he's on track.
All right, we might even have a chat to him tomorrow. It's great for you to donate that, and it's good to hear that Brenton's tracking so well. Matty, thanks for taking the time to join us in the studio down here at the Bull. Good luck over the 3 days.
Pleasure, Michael, and good luck, punters.
Yeah, no doubt. Matty Williams there. Follow him at the Bull. He likes one today, Lady Selkirk in race number nine. And then on the final day, race nine, number one, Like the Clappers as well. This is Racing Pulse live from the Bull on day one of the May Racing Carnival. Thanks to Country Racing Victoria, the way racing is meant to be. We're going to take a short break. On the other side of this, we'll be back with Steve Pateman, who's on the favourite in today's Briley.
Do you sell stuff on Amazon, eBay, BigCommerce, your own website? Then you need ShipStation, a popular choice of online sellers across Australia. No matter where you sell, ShipStation automatically imports your orders, making them easier to manage. Plus, they help you get the lowest rates from all the top carriers, including Australia Post. Now you can try ShipStation free for 30 days. Plus, get a special bonus when you use the code SHIPPING. To learn more, go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone and enter shipping.